I don't know that I can accept that motion at this time. I think we'll
You have to accept it.
No, we'll just take
Just accept it and defeat the motion.
If you're going to vote heavily, I'll withdraw the motion.
So to Houck moves to table House Bill 2392. Discussion? You want to explain?
I don't think you can discuss it.
No, that's right. That's right. That's right.
It's got to go forward.
I'm sorry. Non-debatable motion. All in favor will ask their ayes. Your names to call. Opposed, no. Clerk will call a roll.
Senator Hannan.
Aye.
Senator Houck.
Aye.
Senator Kitzhaber.
No.
Senator McCoy.
No.
Senator Wyer, Senator Brown, Senator Hendrickson.
So your motion was defeated. Okay.
Okay, that's clear. That keeps the record clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll go to Senate Bill 650. Okay.
Senator McCoy, in the public hearing, I believe, last Friday on this, the committee did hear some testimony, and I believe that is you, Mr. Lyons of the SAFE Corporation, had begun his remarks but did not have a chance to complete them. So perhaps if we could,
I'll have Mr.
And it seems to me that he had a written statement. Mr. Lyons, do you have this supplemental testimony on behalf of SAFE Corporation? You'll also be referring to that?
Right.
Okay, if we can pass those out to them.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Alan Lyons on behalf of SAFE Corporation, speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 650. I won't go into detail. I've done that in the written testimony that I prepared and also in the supplemental testimony that is now being distributed. I would simply point out that the supplemental testimony gives the philosophy behind this whole area of third-party recovery, indicating that the injured worker, in the event that the injury is caused not by some problem with the job activity itself, but rather by the negligence of a third party, by a defective product, by a driver, any other third party, that that injured worker is allowed not only workers' compensation benefits, but is also allowed to proceed in a civil action against that third party to recover more than would be allowed in simply or under simply workers' compensation benefits. Unfortunately, Senate Bill 650, as it now stands, severely limits what the employer would be allowed to recover back from that third-party lawsuit, limiting it only to present expenditures and for not all of those things for which workers' compensation benefits are paid. For example, there is no provision in that bill for awards of permanent disability to be recovered. There is no provision in the bill for any future medical expenses or future time loss payments to be recovered. And so the injured worker receives, in effect, double recovery in those cases. Another possibility under Senate Bill 650, as it now stands, is that in the event that you were to have a fatal claim, present expenses, you may have reserves assessed against the employer of $200,000 or more. For example, if you have a young married worker with minor children, you could be looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars in reserves. Present expenses at the time that the third party case is settled, that the civil case against the third party is settled, could amount to only a matter of a few thousand dollars. Under this bill, one would not be able to offset any of those reserves against the third-party wrongful death action, but instead would be limited to recovering only those few thousands of dollars that have already actually been paid out. What SAFE Corporation has proposed is that the law that now exists in the state of Washington, and which in practice existed here until very recently, that that be incorporated into the Oregon system, that those expenditures made be recovered, that the remaining money from the third party's civil action be distributed to the claimant, to the injured worker, but that those expenditures act as a bar to the payment of future workers' compensation benefits, so that as additional medical treatment arises, that money that has been classified as a bar, it would be a paper transaction. You would just deduct that from the amount owing until all of that money that's been paid out to the claimant has on paper been recovered, at which point compensation benefits would again continue to be paid as if there had been no civil action, no third party case. What it does is to allow the claimant to have a large amount of money up front without having the insurer estimate what the future costs are going to be and then pull that money back out of the third party recovery. It gives the claimant more upfront money from the third party award. And the alternative.
Excuse me, Senator McCoy. Mr. Lyons, is this, are you discussing this amendment dated June 17th at this point?
That's correct.
I believe that was attached to Mr. Lyons' previous testimony, not the supplemental testimony. It's the Safe Corporation June 17th proposed amendments to SB 650. Thank you.
In the alternative, we would suggest that the law simply remain as it is, allowing the injured worker to have attorney's fees and costs taken out of the third-party award, that one-third of that balance be distributed directly to the claimant, and that the insurer then be credited for actual costs and future expected costs reduced to their present value.
Any questions for Mr. Lyons? That being none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on Senate Bill 650? You? Are you raising your hand? Yes. We'll close the hearing on Senate Bill 650. We have one more bill, Senate Bill 93. Mr. Chapman?
Sets of amendments to the amendments and one piece of background testimony.
We have what?
We have three sets of amendments that are now being passed out. In this bill, Senator Hendrickson has proposed amendment concerning the private right of action to enforce the prevailing rate of wage. That is on a draft, a Legislative Council -1. The committee did hold a public hearing, a work session concerning the bill with Senator Hendrickson's proposed amendments, and we'll be receiving a hand engrossed copy, let me help pass those out, of the bill as discussed last time.
I only have two.
You're getting there.
No. Same. think you just got four new pieces of, yeah, just have four new pieces of paper. The one, Legislative Council, draft dash one with proposed amendments from June 3rd. We have several sets of amendments.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
They haven't been reviewed by council.
All right.
Perhaps we should wait.
That's fine.
Okay.
I wanted to explain, because Ross Morgan asked me, and I wanted to explain for what happened. So Wednesday we'll bring it up again.
Either Wednesday or Friday.
Okay. Because he was worried because it has to go back to the House.
Okay, we have a subcommittee meeting Friday, or the subcommittee report, and we have Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay.
So maybe Friday.
We have the amendments here, just the amendments.
Okay.
Close the amendments.
The draft Legislative Council SB 93-1 with the hand engrossed with amendments proposed on June 3rd reflects the comments as reviewed by Legislative Council, which came up at that public hearing on these amendments. Senator McCoy, would you like me to briefly review these?
Yes, would you please?
In creating this private right of action there under Section 2 of these proposed amendments as currently drafted, the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor or any other person may bring suit. There are two possibilities: one, to enjoin a public agency; two, to enjoin a contractor. If one is enjoining a public agency, the issue then becomes, what are you enjoining the public agency from? As currently drafted, you're enjoining the public agency from contracting with or continuing payments to a contractor. The proposal was made to delete the or continuing payments to and simply leave it to enjoin any public agency from contracting with. In other words, it would limit the scope of an injunction. In reviewing this, the question that came up under this was, would a public agency perhaps be liable for refusing to make payments while under a court injunction to a contractor? Secondly, what happens between the contractor and the subcontractor? Is the contractor not having the money a defense to not pay the subcontractor? Legislative Council's opinion on this in an informal review was that the public agency would in all probability not have liability if they were acting in accordance with a court order. However, the issue of what happens between the subcontractor and the contractor perhaps not having enough funds to pay the subcontractor if the payments are stopped from the public agency, that question is more up in the air.
Between the contractor and the public agency, you've set up a breach of contract.
Senator Houck, it's my understanding that a court would have the power as part of an injunctive remedy to order the relations between the parties, and that would be a valid defense against a breach of contract claim. This is my understanding from discussion with Legislative Council that the injunction would prevail.
Let's take it one step forward then. Court orders the non-payment to cease until the matter is defined. The contractor sues the municipality on breach of contract. The third thing is in the court order to receive the stoppage of work, the municipality has got to put up bond, or who's ever seeking has to put up the bond, so that if the stoppage of the work or stoppage of the act is not successful, then the damages are recovered out of the bond. Mm-hmm. Who puts up the bond? The third party, the municipality.
Are you talking about a bond that's filed when you file a lawsuit, a bond that may be required?
Whenever you seek an injunction, they grant you an injunction, that you have to put up a bond for the amount of dollars that may happen if your injunction is not successful or legitimate, the person seeking it.
Mm-hmm.
like in a contract, I've seen it as much as $10,000 a day for every day you stop that project, because the contractor will be damaged, $10,000.
But isn't the bond that you have to put up before?
A different bond. You're thinking of a payment bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different type of bonding. That just assures the contractor assures the contracting agency that he'll pay his bills and that he'll perform his work on time. That's a performance and a payment bond. This isn't a bond as who is going to, if you stop the job or stop the project and your reason for stopping it are not legitimate, the contractor's been damaged, the court makes you put up a bond in case it goes against you so that those damages are awarded to the contractor. The same way if a contractor would sue a municipality, they've got the same thing. They've got to put up a bond. The reverse is so. Or a private individual does the same. But, you know, you're dragging a third party in. The individual sues or appeals to the court for an injunction to stop the municipality to paying the contractor. Who's putting up the bond? Because the contractor is not between the person and the contractor, it's between the municipality and the contractor. And that's, you know, that I think it needs clarification. Who does my mind? Who's going to be liable for the injunction? If it is unsuccessful, which some of them.
The second issue that was discussed at our previous work session is there in line 9 of the amendment. Senator Brown had suggested that instead of simply saying prevailing rate of wage, clarification be put in there, prevailing rate of wage is required by law. Senator Brown had also suggested required by law or contract. Legislative counsel recommends the simply required by law as shown here. A third issue that was discussed is on number 3 there in line 12, changing if an injunction is granted and so on, leading to the debarment procedure. I believe Mr. Kalinowski had proposed changing that to read if a permanent injunction is granted, to perhaps more clearly reflect intent. And you have two other pieces of paper. One is submitted by someone who's not here, I believe by Mr. Kalinowski, who also consulted with the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor. That's SB 93 suggested amendment to ORS 279.356. And your third piece of paper is signed by Bob Stanfill, who's also not here. Suggested amendment. Dated June 17th, 1983. The Medford Chamber of Commerce has, this is on 650, I don't know what it's doing here. It's on a different bill.
Okay. What we will do then is that you will clarify that point made by Senator Howell and get that back. Is there anything else we need to discuss, Senator Kutzhaber? Is there anything else you want?
Well, one thing that I would, but we haven't got really a quorum here.
No.
I am interested in pursuing a couple of these amendments, but they're not in form really to do so.
Well, we'll get them in shape. Which one?
Well, the Kalinowski one, but this is an issue we really should talk about, because one of the major problems with contracting is that public agencies inadvertently leave out the contract clause, or I mean the prevailing wage clause in their contract. And all a contractor can do is to look at the terms and conditions of the contract and bid it accordingly. If they leave it out, this amendment simply says that if it's an error and omission of the public works or the contracting agency, that he becomes liable. The contractor does not become liable for the non-payment of something that isn't included in the contract. It puts a requirement back to a public agency to say exactly what they want in the contract without leaving any errors or omissions.
You want to check that one out as well?
Certainly.
That is the one relating to 279.356, suggested up there. Okay. Is there anything else? If not, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 93. If there's any further business to come before the committee, there being none, we're
sure. Yeah, you did good work.
Senate Committee on Labor, adjourn 9:20.
Cheyenne, you're going to take those amendments down to the legislative council?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, and everybody should understand.
Can you hear me, Cindy?
Okay, I found each other.
Can you hear?
We've been recording.
Thank you, Cindy.
Going so many opposite ways. I really try to avoid stating people's positions on behalf.
No, I just wanted you to know.
Yeah, and since it's a Senator Hendrickson's. Well,
yeah.
I'm thinking about putting a lot of the stuff back up on Friday.
Well, fine with me. I'd like to get out. Maybe I can give you this.